This morning, we're going to do a message entitled Praying with Power. So I ask you a question today. Do you want to pray with power? Yes. Amen. I know we do. I know so many of you could preach this message even better than me because we have a praying church. Our church was founded on prayer. Our church was founded on prayer and worship. And we have such a wonderful environment of the things of God and the Spirit moving in our midst. But it never hurts to revisit the truths that have founded us in our faith. So another question I want to ask you guys, do you want to be effective in the kingdom of God? And if your answer is yes, then this message is for you. Here's the big idea. Praying with power comes by agreeing with God's word and truth. So before we go any further, if you're saying, some of you go, well, I've been praying for 19 years. I'm the prayer warrior. I know everything about prayer. And some of you go, I'm not sure I even know how to pray. Well, I want to tell you there's a common denominator in all great prayer. It is a heart that hears the heartbeat of God and takes the word of God, both written and spoken through the Holy Spirit, and then releases that into this atmosphere that we live in called the world. Because see, the kingdom of heaven is not of this world. Jesus made that clear when he was speaking to Pilate. He said, are you a king? He said, yeah, I'm a king, but not of this world. My kingdom is in another realm. It's in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And so when we pray, yes, prayers are requests, prayers are petitions, prayers of thanksgiving, and there's all kinds of teaching about prayer out there, but the one common denominator that makes prayer powerful is when we pray in agreement with God's word. Because if you're just out there saying what you want to say, thinking what you want to think, you can really get off course fast. But if your prayers are in agreement with the word of God and the heartbeat of God for the season that we're in, you're going to have not just a great prayer, you're going to have a powerful prayer, and I know that's what we want. James 5:16 makes us a promise. It says, the prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective. Let me say that again. The prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective. Some of you might honestly say, then what's wrong with me? I don't feel righteous, my prayers don't feel powerful, and I'm not sure they've been effective. Let me tell you the answer to that question, what's wrong with you? Nothing. Absolutely nothing's wrong with you. We might just need to learn a few things about biblical paradigms for prayer. Let me go back to this. The righteous, the prayers of the righteous. One thing that might be hindering your prayers is that you think you need to earn your righteousness. The Bible clearly teaches that righteousness or right standing with God or having a right relationship with God is a gift from Jesus Christ when he died upon the cross, shed his blood, and took away your sins. So if you're a believer in Christ today, you fit the qualification for this prayer person. You are righteous. So if you're righteous, then your prayers to follow can be powerful and effective. So let's look at some biblical paradigms because, see, most believers' prayer is reduced down to petition, which is part of prayer. I'm not saying it's not part of it. Asking, receiving, asking your Father for things, those are very valid forms of prayer, but that's not all there is to it. See, asking God for what you want or asking God for what you need or asking God to bless the next thing you are doing. Sometimes we turn prayer into hopefully a magic pill that gets God to bless us. But that's not the way God works. See, if we are in our faith, walking in agreement with God, standing in our righteousness, we don't really need to pray for what we need. We just need to declare that he's already provided for our needs. We need to ask him to open our eyes so we can see the direction we need to walk in to receive the provision that he has. But Christians spend too much time begging God for things that he's already given. Or We say, God, I really want to do this. Now bless it. And God doesn't really work that way either. See, when you became a Christian, do you not remember the phrase in the New Testament, the gospel says, you are not your own. You're bought with a price. You don't get to set the agenda anymore. Maybe your prayers haven't been effective because you're setting the agenda rather than surrendering to the divine plan of God in your life. Because when you get in the flow of what God is doing in your life and you begin to agree with what He wants to be done on this day or this season of your life, then your prayers become powerful and effective because you're not just out there trying to make a way. You're in agreement with the flow of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God for this moment in your life. I get excited about this because learning these principles have changed my life and changed the way I pray. If most people were to describe their prayer life, if they were honest, it would look a lot more like a Christmas wish list than a biblical prayer paradigm. Nothing wrong with asking. There's just something greater. Can you hear me? There's something greater. And by the end of this message today, I hope you can catch on to this truth that we find in the Bible. A living connection with our Father in heaven, not like Christmas, where you just send a letter once a year asking for what you want. Come on, that was supposed to be funny. A lifestyle of heart-to-heart relationships. See, prayer, real powerful prayer, comes out of a relationship that you have with your Heavenly Father, that you're letting the Holy Spirit work in you continually. And then the outgrowth of that relationship is powerful declarations and requests and proclamations of who God is through your prayer life. And it becomes an amazing, awesome part of your life. So praying with power comes by agreeing with God's word, both written and spoken, and agreeing with God's truth. So let's get started on those biblical paradigms. Matthew 11:12 in the New American Standard says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. And half the crowd cringes. I don't like violence. Let me explain. It's not physical violence we're talking about. The kingdom of God is forcefully advancing. It's moving forward. And those who have a determined resolution or resolve in their heart will seize the kingdom of God for themselves. Let's read that same verse in the Passion Translation. Maybe this will help you grasp it. From the moment John the Baptist, that's who he's talking about, stepped onto the scene until now, the realm of heaven's kingdom is bursting forth, and passionate people take hold of its power. Would you like to take hold of the power of the kingdom today? Did you know the power that rests in the kingdom, the Bible says, is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead? The Bible literally says that power resides in you and in me as believers in Christ today. Whoa! And I'm worried about my bank account. And I'm worried about the stock market. And I'm worried about my health. And I'm worried about all these relationships that are broken in my life. And I'm worried about this, that, and the other. When the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me, hey, just a suggestion, just a what if. What if we got focused on the power that's in us rather than the circumstances around us? What if we put our faith back in the one who created us and not in all the created things that surround us? Whew, that felt good. I needed that. You mean to tell me there's a battle to fight? The violent take it by force. The passionate seize it and receive power. You mean there's a quest in this life to go forward and to achieve? And one that counts for eternity? Woo! Awesome! I want some of that. How about you? You want to do something that matters? One of my friends in this life made a career change several years ago. And he said, the career that I'm in is making me lots of money and I've been very successful, but I feel like I'm building castles in the sand when God wants me to build something for eternity. And God was redirecting his life and putting him on a different path. And he was receiving something greater than just this life. Now, does this life matter? Of course it does. We're here. God cares about this life. He cares about your family. He cares about your needs. The Bible literally says he will provide for all of your needs. It doesn't say he will. He already has. Oh, my goodness. Obviously. Again, we're not talking about a physical violence when we're talking about violent resolve in the kingdom. We're talking about prayer. So there's got to be a sort of aggression, purposefulness, passion that leads your prayer life. Because that James 5:16 passage says this, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. I learned that from my grandma. She only spoke in King James when she prayed. Now, she had regular West Texas English in every other conversation, but when she began to pray, grandma spoke the King's English. Woo! I love hearing my grandma pray and still feel it today. I remember kneeling by her bed and her praying for me when I would spend the night with her. Love my grandma. Miss her. But she taught me this scripture. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous avails much, accomplishes much. So I ask you again, would you like your prayers to accomplish something? But so many people say, I feel like my prayers are bouncing up against the ceiling and falling back down. Something doesn't feel like it's going right in your prayer life. Just keep listening. I think God's got some answers for us. So there's a spiritual battle. It's won through prayer and faith. Jesus already won the battle definitively, but now we get to come in and win with him in this present circumstance that we live in. So Ephesians 6:12 gives a little bit of context to the battle we're fighting. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, authorities, against cosmic powers over the present darkness. Woo, doesn't that sound like a movie or something? Against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Let's press pause for a second, church. That sounds spooky if you're not used to hearing it. But this war, you don't have to become goofy to be spiritual. You don't have to become goofy to be spiritual. I mean, it is other than your norm is stepping into the realm of the spirit. But see, Jesus was very normal in most of his interactions, yet healing people, multiplying food in miraculous fashion, walking on water, he never made a show. He just did what was necessary in the moment because he was in touch with this supernatural power. Do you know Jesus himself was fully human when he was on earth? He had to go pray. He had to get in touch with God. He had to speak by the Holy Spirit, just like you and I. You go, oh, Jesus had it easy. No, no, no. He had it harder than you do. He was making the path straight for you and I. He had much more of a burden. You go, he was fully God and fully man. I promise you, what you have to do today is much easier than what Jesus had to do. Because he's already provided everything you need. He was actually winning the war as he stepped onto the scene. He was fighting the battle every day. And he needed to pray. And he needed to be filled with the Spirit. And he needed to learn the Father's heart and speak the Father's heart into this present darkness. And we do too. But our confidence is not in us. It's in him. Jesus has won the war, but he lets us come in and have a little fun. So when your finances are stretched, Jesus is just letting you have a little fun winning against the darkness. Nobody amen that. When stress and circumstances try to trip you up and knock you down, Jesus is just letting you get in on a little bit of the fight so you can have enjoyment in the victory. But it's really not a stressful activity once you learn and understand the will of God in your life. You can be at peace. You can say, peace be still, and you can sit in the presence of your enemies. As Psalm 23 says, he prepares a table. I never liked that, but I've learned to really like that. Whew, there's enemies all around. I'm sitting here eating a feast with my God. Because he just sets a table. God's not worried about the enemy. God knows he's defeated. He's just putting food in front of you. He's putting provision in front of you every day. Some of us are so tied up in our long-term plans that we can't see the present work of God in this moment. I like long-term planning. I'm a planner. I love it. I love to look ahead. I love to set goals. But at some point, you have to set that aside and say, God, what are you saying right now? So we're back at Ephesians 6, verse 12. If we plan to forcefully or powerfully advance the kingdom of God, we've got to figure out what kind of weapons work in this battle, and prayer is your chief weapon in the battle. If we pray the words of God, how can we not be effective? Jesus teaches his disciples to pray in Matthew 6, but not as you suppose. You're going to love this. The first time I heard this, it blew my mind and transformed the way I pray. Because the disciples came to Jesus in that recorded in Matthew 6 to teach us how to pray. Obviously, they had seen him praying. They had seen the effectiveness of his life. And they said, we want to do that. They didn't ask him, teach us how to do a miracle. Teach us how to cast out a demon. Teach us how to walk on water. No, they said, teach us how to pray. And he taught them how to pray. But what you're going to see here is it's much more of a declaration than it is a request. Now, request is always part of it because he's our dad and we need to ask for his provision. And the Bible clearly says, ask, seek, and knock. I'm not saying you stop asking, but I'm saying, what if you understood what Jesus was teaching his disciples when they specifically said, teach us how to pray? Now, we've done a whole series on this before called Declarative Prayer. And you can go on our website and look that up and go on our messaging and find that. But this today is really key if you want to pray with power. Matthew 6, verse 9. Now, you're going to see when it pops up on the screen here in a minute, you're going to see in parentheses, you. Have you ever heard in grammar and language studies the understood subject of you? You'll understand when we finish here. Pray then in this way, Jesus said, our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Stop right there. That's where most of us stop and think that's a nice worship thing. That's an introduction of worship and adoration and the declaration that his kingdom is coming on the earth. Most people say that in rote because it's become the Lord's Prayer. In the church today, let us join together and recite the Lord's Prayer. And nobody has a clue what they're saying or doing. It's just become religious. If I told you to stand and recite the Lord's Prayer with me, we could all get it until we get to the trespasses or sins or whatever part there, and we might say it a little different, but we all pretty much know the Lord's Prayer. But Jesus wasn't teaching us something to memorize and regurgitate. He was giving us a pattern and an understanding of how he works. So you can see clearly, you're making a declaration of who God is. You're speaking to your Father, but you're telling the world around you, this is my God. His kingdom reigns. Okay, we'll just move on. Verse 11, and it says, give us this day our daily bread. But it's not a request, it's a declaration of faith. You, my God, give us this day our daily bread. It's a statement, not a request. I'm telling you, this will change your life. This is a language thing that English doesn't pick up until you study it deeper. And you forgive our debts as we also forgive our debtors. It's not, I hope you forgive me today because I'm such a sinner. No. God, I'm declaring my faith in this prayer. This is not just something to recite. This is a pattern. This is a platform. This is a paradigm for prayer. His disciples had no clue what he was doing because he would go off by himself and pray. They said, how do you do this? And he comes back and he lays the framework for them to do amazing things through the rest of their life. And each of them but one did. And you forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And you do not lead us into temptation, but you deliver us from evil. When you run into evil, most of us go, oh God, please deliver me from evil. I'm just going to say it. That's a wimpy prayer. You need to stand up on your two feet spiritually and say, my God will deliver me from this evil. My God will provide for my needs. I don't think he cares if you say it word for word. I think God wants you to get the heart behind this and take the word of God that's been planted in your heart for all these years and begin to take that truth and declare it as done. Who said it? Jesus. It is finished. Whatever you run into today, it's already taken care of. You mean I don't need to spend a couple of hours or weeks worrying about this? Nah. Declare God's word and move on. You go, that's too simple. Well, I'd rather do that than what I've been doing. How does Dr. Phil say it? Well, how's that been working for you? That worrying, that stress, that trying to figure out this life on your own. Here's the real question. Are you a Christian or not? Because Jesus didn't say, you know, if you're a Christian, there's five options in how to pray. No, he said, this is how you pray, believers. You pray with faith, believing. Then it ends right here. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'm going to challenge you at the end of this message to take this paradigm and begin to pray differently. But we'll get there in just a minute. So when we understand the way that Jesus actually taught his followers to pray, it's not a bunch of wishing, it's not a bunch of hoping, it's a bunch of declaring. Declaring. It's getting down to the nitty-gritty. To where the rubber meets the road and actively speaking your faith. I think we miss it so many times because we're over here acting like, God, I need you to do something. And God would say back to you, I've already done it all. Now God would say to you, I need you to do something. Stand up on your own two feet spiritually and speak truth to your current circumstances. I'm not talking about living in fantasy land. I'm not talking about denying the facts. If you're sick, you're sick. Admit the facts, but speak the truth. God is my healer. If you're in debt, if you're broke, the facts are the facts. You ain't got any money. But the truth is, God says he'll provide. So you see the difference. I'm not saying live in fantasy world, and when somebody asks you how you're doing, and you're doing terrible, you say, I'm just blessed, brother. Now, it's okay to say you're blessed because that is the truth, but let's not pretend. You know, when you're going through something, you're going to be affected, you're going to be down, and you need to admit that so that people can lift you up. You don't need to put on a facade, but somewhere you need to be real about your faith. And if you'll take what I just taught you in the Lord's Prayer and get the understood subject of you, don't worry, next year we're going to teach through this again and we're going to really drill down on this. But I wanted to begin to plant the seeds. Our prayers are not just wish lists. Our prayers are declarations of faith. So praying with power comes by agreeing with God's word and truth. We must learn how to pray prayers that agree with God's word about who he is, about what he has victoriously accomplished for us, and then it changes everything. So here's the challenge. And we're about to be done. I want to challenge you to begin turning scripture into declarations of truth. You know, we have this little devotion book. They're in your seat backs in front of you or at the Connection Center out there. If you don't have a daily Bible reading plan, this is a great way to get started. I'm not saying this is the end goal, but it's a beginning place. And you can receive a bit of God's word there and hear somebody's opinion about it. And then you can take that, internalize it, and begin to speak it as a declaration of faith over that day. And for some of you who are well beyond just a devotion book, you know, you read the word where God's directing you. You're not just reading to learn. You're receiving truth so you can speak it with power into this world. See, how does God prefer to work in the world? Say, through me. How does God prefer to work in the world? Yeah, through you, through me. It's not some professional job to do kingdom work. It's the work of God's people. It's every one of us receiving the truth, speaking the truth, standing firm. So that was your challenge. Here's your assignment. Take Matthew 6, 9 through 13 and turn it into the declarations that we just learned about you provide for our needs. Take the understood subject of you. Speak it back to God. If you need to have that received to you in an email or something, send me an email, brad@harvestchristianfellowship.org. We'll send you that so you can begin to speak it the way Jesus meant it. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 20, for the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. It's living by God's power. It's not just listening to a sermon on Sunday morning. It's taking those words, let them go deep in your heart, and applying them to your life. Now, I'm going to show you a short video that shows some of the great results of our church praying with power.
Before camp, I was kind of buried like underneath all this shame and guilt and insecurities. But once I got to camp, I was truly blessed with an amazing group that I was able to just open up to and kind of let them know how I feel towards, like, Christ. On Thursday night, something really amazing happened to me. Jericho was praying over me. Of course, my legs got weak and I fell over. While I was down, I had my eyes closed and I heard the voice of God speak to me and tell me that I was free from all my guilt, my shame, my insecurities. And after that, I just felt relief. And I was so thankful for being able to experience something like that at such a young age, because, like, as I talk to everybody, they're like, hold on to that, because even people like over my age don't get to, like, really experience something like that. But now that I'm back home, I just try to continue walking on the right path and just keep walking with God and just do things right.
So for me, it was more about the worship, because before camp, I was, like, struggling with believing in God, because when I was a kid, I was super strong in Christ. So before camp, I was I didn't believe in God anymore, and it was like I was struggling. But because of Anthony, he kind of like made me believe in God a little bit, but I didn't understand how to. But then I went to camp, and it just got a lot easier. Because on the first day, I didn't really connect yet, but then the second day, it was just at worship. I went up there, and I was free, you know? Yeah. And then after that, it was every single day, it just got better and better. So then it just kind of like, once I got back, it's like I couldn't stop worshiping.
I'm going to start off a little bit before camp, probably 2 months or so. I got in a wreck, flipped my truck, should have been dead. It was really scary. And the thing is, I kind of took advantage of that, because I was like, hey, I'm Pastor Brad's kid. I should be alive, you know? But that's not where I should have been. I was living a lie. I was living this, oh, hey, I'm sheltered under my family. I've got their faith. I don't need my own. But I got to camp, and I saw that the shadow that I was living in is my parents and my brothers. But the thing is, I shouldn't have to do that. I should be living in my own faith. And on Thursday night, I just felt like I needed to get prayer, so I went up to Anthony and he prayed for me, and he read my mail, y'all. He read my mail. He told me everything that I was doing wrong and what I was doing and all this stuff, and I was like, whoa. And I just fell to my knees, and I felt like the lowest I could have been, and then I heard God say, just build from there, you know?
Our kids bonded so well, and they made this connection that I think my heart needed to see. They pushed me as a leader to hear what God had to tell me. My girls, I only had four of them, but they needed love, and I'm not a mom, so I'm like, okay, maybe I can't show them the love that they need right now, but because I opened up myself and opened up my heart to what God had to say, he poured in me what needed to be said to them. And our group has a group chat, and every morning I've been trying to send them messages of like little Bible verses every morning that just have to do with relating to the things that they're going through and struggling with. But the thing is it's speaking to me too. And God is just using this experience and the group that we were with to just keep working on me and working through me. And I know it's only been 5 days, guys, but my mom, I saw her this weekend, and she said, I literally watched you walk into this building, and you were free. She said you walked in with a different, even posture, demeanor, and she could tell that I was free from some of the things that I'd been struggling with. My friends that said I was negative before have seen the light that you guys have helped me see too. And they say, hey, I'm glad you're seeing that. And those things that we learned at camp in the who you are in Christ stuff, like my friends are saying, hey, you're finally starting to see that in yourself. You're not just saying it to other people. You're starting to see it in yourself. And I couldn't have done that if it hadn't have been for this week. So thank you for letting me come.
You know, like any adult, we look at a child and we see them and we're like, we're going to change their life. And we couldn't be more wrong as an adult. Because what I found when I went to camp is every one of you changed me. Thursday night, I have never seen anything like that. Like right now, I can feel the heat from the lights. But when the Holy Spirit hit that room, I have never seen more kids be more brave, more unafraid, and unashamed. It was amazing to watch. So I want to thank every one of you kids for the blessings that we all came back with. Anthony didn't even know I was going to go. I was supposed to go last year, but I can tell you right now, I'm going to go every year. I'm going to bring a hoverboard next year because I'm not going to climb another hill. But again, what I took from camp was just an entire total blessing, and I thank every one of y'all for that. Thank you.
So, guys, that's just a few examples of our church praying with power. We create those kind of environments when we get into agreement with what the Holy Spirit is saying and we release his power into people's lives. I mean, I want you to imagine for a minute, because we all understand the camp experience, right? Most of us. What if your life was a camp experience? What if you lived in connection with God like that? I don't think we have to go away to live in the present power of the Holy Spirit. Will you stand with me? I think every one of us have a part to play in our life as a church being transformed. You know, you're hearing testimonies of when people gave God a chance. And see, those chances, I want you to connect the dots here. Those chances only come because a whole church is praying and believing and proclaiming God's truth over a specific group of people. What if we prayed that way for our families? What if we prayed that way for our places of work, our schools? What if we prayed that way for our community? Not some kind of works-based righteousness. Not some kind of, I'm going to show God how good I am. No. What if we just opened our ears? Say, God, what are you saying in my circle of influence today? Okay, I'm going to say that with you. It's as simple as that, church. God, what if I took the words I'm reading in the scripture and I let you speak them to my heart, and today I release those into the atmosphere around me as a declaration? Here's the invitation today. Some of us are discouraged. We'd like to be prayer warriors. We'd like to pray with power, but something's stopping you. I want to invite you to come today and let some of these altar team prayer warriors pray over you. So I'm going to invite the prayer team to come. I believe God wants to definitively change our view on prayer today. Some of you are like, I've been there, done that, had a few good experiences, but the bad outweighed the good. I want to challenge you to come lay down your been there, done that on the altar today and say, God, I'm discouraged. I used to believe. I used to have powerful experiences, but I want them today, and so I'm coming, I'm laying it down. I want to be renewed in my faith today. I hope that's every one of us, because God has something great for our church. He's leading us in a direction. This isn't the last time you're going to hear about prayer on a Sunday morning. We have a new initiative from God to reinfuse faith and teaching and truth about how to pray in agreement with the Holy Spirit, because we believe this is vital to the next steps for our whole church. So I just want to ask you to bow your head. If you're so inclined, open your hands as an open receptor, a symbol of your receiving posture. Now come, Holy Spirit, upon all these open hands. Change our view. Renew our faith. Infuse us with the kingdom power. Some of us can think back to a time where we were mighty in our faith and we were strong and we had vision. Something robbed it from us. Oh God, you want to restore today, God. Restore to your people faith and belief, and energize your children today to believe once again that we can have power, that we can make a difference when we agree with your word and speak your truth. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, as they play this music, just let it wash over you. We just need a cleansing from the past and a renewal for the future. If you need prayer today, if you want to be empowered, come forward now and let one of these people pray with you. Maybe you just need to stand there and let the Spirit wash over you. Just don't leave too fast. God wants to do something before you walk out of this room.
He is just for me. He loves like a hurricane. I am a tree.